Hello and welcome to the Gambling Files podcast. I'm your host, John Bruford, your co-host, but my co-host isn't here again because he is recovering. He didn't die during the race. He is recovering. Apparently, he looks quite pregnant. He was telling me on WhatsApp. His ankles are all swollen and his back is killing him. And he has morning sickness. So sad times for Fenton, but he is alive. So that's a good start. It's a positive start. We just have one guest this week. We did have another guest lined up, but unfortunately, due to illness, she had to cancel. So hopefully she'll be with us next week because I think she's going to be a terrific guest. In the meantime, I thought we'd just take a moment, reflect. And without sounding as I don't want to sound as though I'm being negative about, you know, any companies in the gambling space, because you're all just wonderful. If you were here, I'd be pinching your cheek and giving it this. Yeah. But I wanted to discuss the use of the ampersand or the and in company names, because it is quite a, it's quite a point of distinction. It's, you know, there are some massive companies and sort of cultural things that we all recognize and that we've recognized for decades. I mean, in America, of course, they have AT&T. You have, you know, big names in fashion. You've got H&M. You've got Dolce & Gabbana. Arm & Hammer, and of course their famous line of baking soda products, and of course the actor implicated in his sex scandals, was it cannibalism for him? Army Hammer. I bet Arm & Hammer really regret his parents calling him Army. Bang & Olufsen, there's another one. And sometimes these names come about because of mergers, companies like Procter & Gamble. Bang & Olufsen's interesting because that was a company that was founded by two friends, and they are they just wanted kind of equal recognition. Tommy Bang and, of course, Steve Olufsen. I may have just made that up. Yeah, I totally did. And M&M's, there's a big one with an ampersand. And of course, the famous rapper Eminem got his name from theirs. So, I mean, you know, culturally, that's even bigger. Johnson & Johnson's an interesting one because I can't help but think they would have saved us all a lot of time if they just added an S and just been called Johnson's. No apostrophe, because of course it's a plural. And of course, by the way, I have a cold, so if I sound a little bit rough, that's because I am. Light and Wonder in the gaming space, I think that's, you know, that's another great company name with an ampersand or an and. Also, Simon and Garfunkel. That's another one. And that's a famous musical merger because Simon, also known as Simon Smith, he was a some kind of troubadour, if I recall correctly. And he met at one of his gigs a young man who we now know, of course, as Garfunkel. Full name is actually Gareth Funkel. And they decided to work together. Gareth Funkel at that time was a shoe salesman specializing in leather sandals. And, you know, it changed the course of music history, that meeting. And the ampersand is a big part of that identity. It's as key as the Simon or the Garfunkel, I would suggest. And S&M, there's another one. So there are many, many positive ampersands and ands in company names and in cultural stuff. I didn't even get on to Laurel and Hardy or Abbott and Costello. I mean, that's time for another podcast. And just in case any lawyers are listening, this clearly falls under satire. Anyway, we're going to move on to our guest because I'm losing my voice. Just the one guest this week. We're joined by Mr. Paul Ryder, who's actually my publisher at Casino International. And we're just discussing the forthcoming Casino Awards, which happen next week during ICE, why we put them on and why they're not shit, because they're not. And I'm not just saying that because I'm biased. I really am very biased, but they're not shit. So come along. It'll be fun. Anyway, in the meantime, apologies for the short episode. This is the best my voice has been all week, and it still sounds terrible. And we'll be back next week with a full and proper episode. Hopefully see you at ICE. Take care. And we move neatly on to our first guest. I say first guest, but I'll be honest with you. My main guest, my number one guest, pulled out this morning because she's poorly. So right now, he's our only guest. But what a guest. I say what a guest. I mean, what a something. It's Paul Ryder, publisher of Casino International. I mean, talk about scraping the barrel. I've got my own publisher on as a guest. Paul, welcome.
Well, it's a pleasure to partake in this with you, John, having worked with you for many, many years. I think I need a medal for that to start off with anyway.
I think we've been working together about 100 years now. It certainly feels that way.
Most definitely. But most of the time it's been very enjoyable, John, and I'm looking forward to many more years ahead.
That's because I don't work in the same office as you.
Yeah, that's very much the reason. I mean, if you want to move to another country, that might even help us extend our relationship further.
Do you know, I was going to do that. I think it was, crikey. When I moved back to Ludlow, because I got a nephew I'd never even met, right? It had been a while. And the plan was come to Ludlow, meet my nephew, and then go live in, I was sort of torn between Portugal or Norway, which I appreciate are quite different places. And then met my now ex-wife and my lovely stepdaughter, Lorna, and then met Fern and produced about 400 kids of my own. And here I am. So there you go. So unlucky. Yeah.
Some might call it that. Some might call it something different, but it's probably not repeatable on this.
Kismet, Paul. They might call it kismet or serendipity or karma. You must have really fucked somebody in a previous life, and I am your punishment. Unlucky motherfucker. So anyway, what we're here to talk about today is the Casino Awards. Now, in full disclosure, Paul is the publisher of Casino International, works for Data Team Business Media Limited. They're my main client. I work freelance for them. Obviously, for other people as well. I'm basically, I don't even go out to the highest bidder, for fuck's sake. I mean, I just go out to, you want me to do something? Yeah, right, I'll do it.
Don't ask me for any references.
No, of course not. I, you know, but all the cool kids can't get references. Look at Boris Johnson. That twat couldn't get a fucking reference from his parents. So we've been working together on Casino International for 15 years, I think. That might be 16 years this year, actually. And let me think. When was the first year we did it? 2017, we did the first British Casino Awards, I think.
We're now on our fourth award. So the first year we, 2017, we went to the Hippodrome. Maybe it was 2018, John.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, because the last year was 2020.
2019, we then went to that fancy-smancy place called Quaglino's.
Oh, is that the place with the staircase?
Around the corner from the Ritz, yeah. That's a fancy staircase.
Beautiful staircase.
And then 2020, just before the pandemic hit, we went to the Mayfair Hotel, another nice venue. And then 2021, for obvious reasons, we didn't go ahead with our awards. And then here we are, 2022, with the awards taking place next Tuesday at the Tower Hotel, looking onto Tower Bridge. So, yeah, this will be our fourth awards.
Well, that's pretty exciting. So a little bit of history. The British Casino Awards was, let's not make any bones about it, my idea. We brought together what was the British Casino Association at that time and ourselves, worked really well together to sort of make a... We wanted to make a casino awards event with a difference. And like everybody says that. It's like everybody says they've got a unique product. And it's usually bullshit. There's no getting around it. But what we wanted to do was to do awards that had integrity and transparency rather than the awards. And we've all been to them. Awards where, oh, what a weird coincidence. The company that sponsored that award won it. What are the odds? I mean, John, wanted to steer clear of that point.
You were referring to one of the awards that we happened to attend. This is obviously prior to launching these awards, where you ended up getting quite drunk, moonwalking on stage, stole my phone that night, had to replace it whilst at ICE, and then as just about to fly off somewhere else on the Thursday or the Friday, you ran me and said, "Paul, I found it in the corner of my room." Is that the award you're referring to, John?
That is one of them.
Oh, okay.
But I was really shit-faced. I wasn't quite drunk. I was hammered. That was that particular event. It kicked off at 7 o'clock with champagne reception or whatever. Let's face it, Carver reception. But dinner was served at like 10:30. I wasn't the only shit-faced person in the room, because I swear nobody's ever pulled me up on the moonwalking except you.
And that's because everybody else was blinding drunk like you were and wouldn't remember it anyway.
Thank God.
Yeah.
But that's just one example.
I'll give you that. I'll give you. It's a good moonwalk.
But that's just one example. Do you know what I mean? That's just, there are plenty of awards out there. There are some really good ones as well. There's ones that we've heard wonderful things about. Gambling Compliance one is one that we've heard a lot of good things about. And I think SBC's getting some nice feedback as well. So there are some good events out there. Do you remember the Asia Gaming Brief one that we went to? That was really good.
Yeah, that was with our friend Luis, wasn't it? Yeah, that was a good awards event. And
do you know Roz is a consistent visitor to this podcast?
Oh, okay, the lovely Roz.
Yeah, the awesome Roz and her colleague Sharon come on and they discuss Asia and Australasia.
Are they coming to our awards next week, John? I think they are, aren't they? Was Roz coming?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, Roz is invited. But you know, speaking of our awards, sorry, to get slightly back on track. So we did. It started out as the British Casino Awards with half an eye on expanding it into Europe at some point, because we felt there was a gap there. We felt it was, there are a few global awards. There are a few specific country or specific region awards. We didn't see anything pan-European. And we thought, hey, we could do that. And we are. And that's what we're doing next week. It's our first one of just the casino awards, not the British Casino Awards. For the European and British casino industries, European as it, we're just specifying European and British because it was the British and is now European. It's European as in continental Europe rather than the economic bloc. So is anybody going?
As it wouldn't surprise most people to hear, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster ride in terms of this year's awards, but I am pleased to say that, we've got the same attendance as we had 2 years ago, 2020, when it was just the British Casino Awards. And obviously we were anticipating with opening it up into Europe that we would have encouraged a larger audience to attend, both sponsors and operators. I think for obvious reasons with the ICE scenario and a lot of the land-based, if not all of the land-based companies pulling out of ICE for this year, did have an effect on, or has had an effect on the attendance to our awards. But I'm pleased to say that between you and I, we've sort of held our nerve and stuck to our guns and wanted to continue with these awards. And I'm pleased to say that that has paid dividends, because certainly my gut feel was that although a lot of the land-based companies have pulled out of ICE, that they still wouldn't be able to resist turning up in London for a little bit of a nose around to see who's there and to meet up with old friends and colleagues and hopefully some operators. Obviously, the ECA are very heavily involved with the with Excel and supporting that ICE and the supporting that event as they are with ours as well. So I'm pleased to say that, as I say, that's paid dividends. So a lot of those people that are, as I understand, attending ICE from a land-based point of view, very much see our awards as a great networking opportunity to get together. And let's face it, we haven't really properly done that for a couple of years now. But I very much anticipate, in terms of 2023, that we can certainly grow the attendance to the awards, because I think what's also people need to recognize about awards is a lot of people get hung up on winning awards. And, you know, as you suggested earlier, you know, sponsoring awards, but only if I win. And for me, that's not really what awards are all about. They're just as important, if not more important, certainly at the moment, in terms of creating a very strong networking environment for people to be comfortable in. You know, we host a relaxed professional awards. I think that's what people have always enjoyed about our awards. You know, we don't take ourselves too seriously in that respect. But we also very much put on the credible awards, which was something, having you and I attended many awards over the last 5 or 6 years, felt was missing. And, you know, one of the things that I say to any sponsors that come on board is, if you're going to be a sponsor and think you're going to win, please don't take that sponsorship opportunity. And that's one of our strongest selling points. And it might sound a bit of a strange thing to say, but hopefully my sponsors won't, or our sponsors won't, hold this against me. It doesn't mean to say you'll never win a category, but a lot of our sponsors have actually never won an award, and I think that actually speaks volumes in terms of what you and I set out to achieve in the first place and have achieved so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think to go back to a slightly earlier point, regular listeners of this podcast will know that I wouldn't, if I'm involved in something, it certainly guarantees a certain level of professionalism.
Is that even though you'd never come across as being professional, John?
Yeah, but like people that know.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Because if you don't know what I mean, then you're not somebody that knows.
No, you know, obviously working with you for the time I have, then, you know, that you have had moments of being professional. I can't quite recollect when those have been, but I hear what you're saying. People that know you well enough know that you would not wish to put your name to something that's not going to be run in a credible fashion, and I know you won't want to let anybody down in that respect, John.
Well, that's quite true, Paul. You know, my name is all I have. Quite literally all I have, because I haven't paid for my new bike yet.
Oh, you were telling me about that the other day, actually.
Excuse me, I've got a bit of a cold at the moment.
Well, so that's even if you have lots of kids, John, you see, you're constantly unwell.
But even if I had my new bike, even if I'd paid for it, and sponsorship packages are available for the podcast, then I wouldn't be able to ride it because I'm all chesty. Yeah. So what kind of awards are we giving out, Paul? Is there anything interesting in there?
Yes, there are.
I mean, Best Magazine Editor, is that one of them?
Well, I mean, we could do that, but I think the result would be embarrassing for perhaps for yourself. But
yeah, you know, fucking G3 have won enough.
And I'm all up for, you know, working with our competitors, who, by the way, I have to say, some are coming along next Tuesday, and I'm very pleased to see that they are, because we've known these people for many years and worked very closely with them, and we've always prided ourselves on getting on well with our competitions. I think the casino industry has generally demonstrated to you and I, actually, everyone seems to know each other and respects that there's certain things you don't talk about as competitors. But yeah, I'm pleased to say that we've now got some further trade press coming along that we've always actively encouraged since the outset. They've always been invited, yeah, there's going to be a few other members, a few other colleagues from the trade press are going to be there next week, so we can definitely introduce the best editor category, and I look forward to presenting that to Lewis Peck on the evening.
Well, I you're funny, and I don't know if you know this, but well, you do. You know that I so these awards, they're decided by a panel of judges, and we don't, unlike many awards, we don't announce that we have a panel of 282 judges judging our 64 categories. We try and keep it quite tight, keep the show quite lean. So it's a nice dinner, it's a nice event, and it doesn't occupy such a massive chunk of your life that you leave thinking, shit, I'm never getting that time back. But also, you know, it's, I don't know what it is personally, but I just don't see the need to publicize the judging panel. We had some tremendous judges on the panel this year. We had pretty broad experience on there, and some of our competitor publications were on the panel, and we invited more than were on the panel. Some of them couldn't do it because of deadlines, because of where ICE was falling. Some of them didn't want to do it because they were leaving their jobs or whatever, and some of them did it and were legendary about it. When we started out the British Casino Awards, we started out with doing industry voting, didn't we? For most of the awards were settled by actual industry votes.
Yes.
And it still makes me laugh now. There was some criticism of that process because it was suggested that it wasn't transparent enough, as opposed to being the most transparent way that it could possibly be done. Your peers vote. So there was some criticism there. And so this year I've put together a panel of judges, and it is a fantastic panel. I'm really, really pleased with the experience, the breadth of knowledge in the judging panel. And that's something I'm really looking forward to developing as well next year. I forgot where I was going with this.
I think you might have been building up to the fact that we've also now
Wardy. That's Mike where I was
Wardy.
Going.
Yeah, Wardy. Mike Ward into the or
that's exactly the, that's exactly where I was going.
Onto the team.
If you hadn't butted in, I'd have gotten there. Maybe.
But he is independent, and it's very important to make that.
He is. That so we have a an arbiter of, we have a moral compass. No, we have an independent dude. He might balk at being called a dude. He's a dude. Who is, so basically this gentleman, Mike Ward, who has, he does a similar job on the Gambling Compliance Awards, doesn't he?
Yes, he's actually, his title that we're allowed to use is Manager of the Gambling Compliance Regulatory Awards.
Yeah, I was totally going to say that. So he's doing a similar job on these awards, and he's been absolutely terrific. His background is that he's a numbers dude. He's a statistician. He's a data guy. And he's been guiding us in ways to refine our process, et cetera. It's been brilliant, actually. He's been tremendous. He's been absolutely fabulous. I'm a big fan. Not saying I'm a Mike Ward groupie, but you know what I mean? Pretty close.
Yeah, what do you think of him, Paul? Unfortunately, he gets your sense of humor, John. So that actually is probably why you're a fan. I tend to find people that don't laugh at your jokes, and I've come across many of those over the years. You're not such a great fan of.
You haven't met many people like that at all.
Maybe I just haven't mentioned them back to you.
Most people find me hilarious.
I'd say it's 50-50.
50-50? What am I, Marmite?
Yeah, very much so.
Cheeky bastard.
Mike Ward's doing a great job, John. I'm pleased that we've got him on board. This was something that, we felt we needed to do. To further the awards and to develop it. And it was something also that the ECA were very keen for us to implement. They were one of the drivers behind it because of their experience of what they've done or witnessed in terms of other awards in the past. Mm. And, you know, we all learn from our lessons or the things that we've got wrong. So yeah, so I'm pleased that we've got Mike on board, and I'm sure we'll continue with him for the future. And it does give those sponsors and the winners on the night something to be really proud of, because they know it has been independently voted for and adjudicated with no commercial bearing on it. That's the key thing for our awards.
Yeah. I said when we were putting it together, in fact, in one of our first meetings about this, and you fucking love meetings, don't you? One of the first things I said to you is what we need to do is we need to put an event on where when people get up to leave at the end, they say, holy shit, I had a fucking great time tonight. And that is what we've done. And we've done that consistently. And that's what I'm most proud of. Nobody ever says, God, I had a shit time. And you know what I mean? You don't hear a lot from people when you get things right in this industry. You really do hear from people when you get things wrong. We would have had one, maybe two events if we were lucky. And here we are back with our fourth and poised to grow. So I think we should take great heart from that. You know, we give people a good night out. No happy endings. I say that also, if they win.
I think we also, awards can really drag on.
Yeah.
We're very mindful. And, you know, there's a few little speeches, but nothing untoward in that respect. But, you know, we do, you know, we get through the awards quick. You've got an evening that starts at 7, finishes 12:30. You've got a good 5 hours there. We want that to be just as much networking as we do having some nice food and some nice drink and being entertained by our compere Ian Moore, who is a great compere. We use him for a lot of our other awards, especially if they're European orientated awards. He lives in France. You know, he has a real great sense of humor when it comes to European issues, if you like, but again is very professional and entertains people. But you know, we get through those awards pretty quick, and again, a lot of people have commented to me over the years that they actually find that quite refreshing, and again, that helps with them having an enjoyable evening.
Yeah, and then they can get down to the real drinking.
Yeah, well, I have to say the last two or three awards, I mean, I've actually been quite disappointed, I suppose, in the amount of people that stay behind afterwards. They seem to, you know, take their trophies and run off and either go somewhere else or potentially or probably go back to their hotels, because obviously it's during ice and they've got a busy day the next day.
It is first night of ice. That's Tuesday, yeah. April the 12th, for anybody who's curious.
It could be quite surprising this year, John, because obviously a lot of those people aren't exhibiting. So they may well choose to stay on, which I hope they do, because we will be laying on some extra drinks at the end of the evening. There will also be a cash bar for those that want a full choice of beverages. But we sincerely hope that people are able to stay on very much more this year, and you know, to continue with those networking opportunities, because as I say, that's at least 50% of what our event is all about, and probably even more so this year because of. And I haven't commented on this yet, but I'd like to, from the point of view that, you know, we've had a great amount of entries from suppliers. It has been a little bit disappointing on the operator side of things. Having said that, I'm now seeing from the guest list that are coming in that there are a number of operators that haven't entered this year, but again are going to be there next Tuesday evening. And again, I'm pleased to see that, because my job, certainly in terms of for sponsors, is to deliver the right people in the room.
I want to jump in here, because you say it's been slightly disappointing on the operator entry side.
And maybe
I get where you're coming from with that. I do think you're being unnecessarily harsh on yourself there, because you know, the early feedback when we were talking to operators was, you know, it was particularly with 2 years of COVID, with some companies still struggling, depending on what's going on in their countries. You know, some casinos are still operating on 25%, which is incredible. But also with events in Ukraine as well. some people have said is now the right time to do this. And we said, yeah, actually, we think it is. We do think it's time for the industry to go, do you know what? We're still here. We're doing all right. I'm not going to come out with some bullshit line like, we're doing it for the industry. But, you know, we did think that now is the time to do that. And the attendance of the operators, I think, says a lot. But the thing is, like, you've got these categories. You've got like best independent operator, right? There's like, God, I don't know how many casinos throughout Europe. I mean, actual full casinos in the hundreds. Yeah. So you got hundreds of casinos across Europe. They're not all going to enter that category because they're not all independent for one thing. But also maybe they're just a small enterprise in the, you know, the arse end of nowhere. Perfectly excellent casino for a relatively small locals market. Maybe they're not going to be wanting to enter that category, you know? There's no way that everybody in the industry is going to enter all of the categories. We've got some terrific entries, some really, really high quality entries from some of Europe's leading operators.
And we really, do. And really, certainly the quality is there rather than.
Absolutely. The quality is definitely there. And, you know, we had this with the British Casino Awards as well. You have to be there for people to see it and to understand what you're doing. And so that understanding will grow and understanding what we have to do to communicate with these casinos, how we have to phrase things, even little things like what we name the awards. It all has an impact because, of course, in a pan-European event, you know, you're dealing with, well, how many languages are spoken in Europe, Paul?
Oh, John, there's a question.
I think it's quite a lot. I might even go and ask the internet. If you wouldn't mind just singing for the listeners while I do this.
What would you like me to sing, John?
You Lost That Loving Feeling.
No, I could think of better songs to sing, but
okay, I'll sing it.
I really don't think the audience would appreciate my hip-hop rapping
anymore when I kiss your lips.
Yeah,
tenderness like before in your fingertips. I could go on, but I found the information I wanted.
Thank God for that.
24 languages spoken in Europe. Russian is the most spoken native language, I guess, because of the size of the country. But 24 official languages, as many as 200 languages are spoken across the continent. Did you know that Africa is home to 1,500 to 2,000 languages?
Where were you going with this, John? Sorry, I've lost track.
That we're communicating in English, but English is not necessarily somebody's first or even second language. And so it's a learning curve for us how to communicate with people and as we try and grow this event. So, yeah, that's where I was going with it. But, you know, I think you're being unnecessarily harsh on yourself. The quality of entries we've got is really excellent. It is really excellent. The quality of attendees we've got in terms of the operators is fantastic. It's really good. All of the key operators from Europe are basically there.
Well, thanks, John. I think I'm going to sleep better tonight now, and thank you for that.
It's all right. I don't pay you many compliments.
No, you don't. That's for sure.
But do you ever wonder why I don't pay you many compliments, Paul?
No, never crossed my mind.
Well, maybe you haven't earned them.
Well, in John Bruford land, maybe not, but... Let's face it, John Bruford land is an interesting land.
Yeah, I like it.
Interesting.
I think it's great. I'm a big fan.
So, John, moving on, I did say to you when we were at the Madrid show the other week, which was an interesting show in itself. It's nice to see some old faces there and to talk about what's happening with the land-based markets and exhibitions and all the rest of it, which is obviously the main talking point that's on everybody's lips. But I also said to you, John, that I did comment because I hadn't seen you, you know, face to face for a couple of years, that I noticed that you'd slimmed down a lot. I thought you were looking really good. And I did actually say that it would be nice if you were going to invest in a suit for the awards next week. Have you actually done anything about that, John?
I think I said to you at the time, I wish you the very best of luck with that. I have not done anything about that, and I'm probably not going to. I have got another nice shirt.
Oh, okay. What, larrier than the one you wore in Madrid?
No, it's more subdued.
Oh, okay. More
concerned. I bought two, actually, but here's the problem, right? So I've lost like 3 inches off my neck, which is a little bit annoying. I used to have an 18.5-inch collar. It's now 15.5 inches, right? Most shirts that have a 15.5-inch collar won't even come close to fitting across my chest.
And I do remember the days of actually personally having a 15.5-inch collar. I'm ashamed to say I don't have that anymore. So your neck is actually smaller than mine. But when you stand with us alongside each other, I think you'd be surprised by that.
Well, yeah. But it's, you know, it's annoying. So I found this beautiful shirt on eBay. Beautiful shirt. Paul Smith shirt. It was an absolute beauty. What I didn't see is that it was slim fit. And slim fit, like, it might get to my nipples. I mean, and like, if I were breastfeeding, that would be fine, but I'm not. Annoyingly, I've got a shirt for a child, basically. I've got a child's shirt that I'll never be able to wear because I think even when you get down to, like, even if my chest was just bones and, you know, nothing else, it's still never going to come close to fitting. So it's a little bit annoying.
It's probably cheaper because it was a child shirt. I mean, you pay less taxes, in terms of footwear, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not an actual child shirt.
Size 2, John.
It's not an actual child shirt, though, Paul.
Oh, okay.
It just looks like it when I try and put it on.
Oh, right, I see.
So, yeah, it's annoying because it's a beautiful shirt. Or maybe it's like the most expensive duster I'll ever have. I'm not sure. So if anybody out there is listening has a 15.5-inch collar and looks good in a slim fit shirt, I've got just a shirt for you. It's really nice.
Well, if anyone's got a spare suit that they can lend John, please do so.
Yeah. How many people out there are going to have my dimensions, do you think?
I'm sure there'll be someone out there, John.
You've seen my legs, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
How many people out there do you think are going to have similar dimensions?
Well, I don't think we've got anyone probably listening from any rugby teams to this. I would suggest that's your only chance, really.
Yeah, but it's not just anybody from a rugby team, Paul. It would have to be...
Well, certain members of rugby teams would
be... It'd have to be probably the prop.
Yeah.
Are there any rugby team props out there? And when I say rugby team props, I'm not talking Sunday League. We're talking serious meat on your legs. Any professional props out there, please get in touch if you've got a suit I can borrow for next week. Jesus Christ, this has become a charity appeal.
Yeah. Well, talking to charity appeals, you did touch on the Ukraine earlier, John, and just to mention...
It's not the Ukraine, Paul, it's Ukraine.
Okay, well, you know, I'm always getting these things grammatically incorrect.
You are quite... Right,
you know, I rely on you to pull me up on these things.
You are
constantly
quite...
do.
Quite old.
But we will be raising some money on the next Tuesday evening for the Ukraine Gaming Charity Appeal.
And
those that come along, please give generously on the night.
Yeah, that's the appeal that was aiming to raise £250,000 to help the humanitarian crisis in Ukraine. And they've exceeded that target and exceeded it really quickly, which I think is tremendous. And we'll hopefully be able to give them some support next week. And maybe we'll even be able to come back on the podcast and say, hey, we raised. Well, however much we raised. But we've certainly, when we were doing the British Casino Awards, we certainly had some really, really solid, really excellent, wonderful fundraising for chips, didn't we?
We did, very much so. People were more than generous.
Chips, for anybody who's not familiar with the charity, and there's no reason you would be because it's a British-based charity. It's a charity which is dedicated to providing wheelchairs for children that need them. And while we have a superb health service in the UK, wheelchairs for children, it's a slightly tricky thing because each child is different. Each child's needs are different. And what Chips does is basically it finds the kid that needs the chair, figures out exactly what they need, and then gets them exactly what they need rather than, you know, the way that health services are set up. It's not a one size fits all, but it's as close as you can get to a one size fits all because, well, it generally works on statistical probability. They're doing an amazing job, Chips, and they've been really well supported by the gambling industry in the UK for many years, and hopefully will continue to be so. Because, well, as the father of a child who uses a wheelchair, the impact of a wheelchair to a kid's life and to their independence, it can't ever be understated. It's a life changing thing. So big fan. That's, have we missed anything out?
No, I think we've covered everything. Of course, you know, there's tickets are still available. If
we go, well, we didn't cover that, did we?
Onto the awards website, www.thecasinoawards.com, where you can still purchase tickets. We'd love to see you there next Tuesday.
Well, I'll be there. Like, oh, you mean the listeners, right? Gotcha.
The listeners. Yeah, sorry. The listeners, John. Yeah. But no, I think we have covered everything off, and really excited about next week. Not just from an awards point of view, but still going to the ICE show. We're still exhibiting there with Casino International and Americano and Gaming International online. So anybody that doesn't have a stand, please come and feel free to use ours as a base.
That's very generous.
Yeah, I think so.
What if you regret that?
Well, we could end up with just a load of jackets left on the stand. One of them might actually fit you, John.
Yeah, bring trousers.
Trousers as well, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so we could just end up being a cloakroom for the land-based casino supplier and operators.
That's right. I'm sure they've got very nice coats.
I guarantee you they have. This is why I'm actually offering this service, really, John, for no other reason.
I've seen you riffle through pockets before. There were your pockets while you were looking for the phone that I'd stolen, but yeah. I've seen you do it. Those trousers I bought for the Madrid show, I mean, they were nice and everything, but they were snug.
Yeah, I want to see you bend over in those, John.
Well, no, I do, because I'm quite old now. It would be more of a squat.
Oh, okay. That would be even worse.
Your
trousers would suffer.
I've been doing a lot of strength work on my legs and my hips, and I do a good squat. Let me put it this way. If I got sent to prison tomorrow, I'd be very popular. And on that note, Paul. Thank you for joining us today. It's much appreciated. Fingers crossed the awards go well. I say that not just because I'm involved, but because I think it's the right kind of awards for the industry.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, John.
It's all right.
I look forward to hopefully doing a few more podcasts with you. I can't believe anybody actually listens to any of this shit. Do they really?
I don't know. I'm not the right person to ask. Okay. Is there anybody you want to say hello to while we're here? Because my kids listen.
Hi, John Brewer's kids. I can never remember all their names, John. That's the problem.
Yeah, so many.
I might have to get them tattooed on my wrist or something so I can remember them.
That is a good idea. I just imagine you go, oh, John, how's Annie Rose? And Little Joe. And hang on, this one's on the other wrist. Baby Al. Yeah, they're all right, thanks.
good.
Well, you're not going to ask about Lorna? Jesus Christ, what kind of colleague are you?
I wouldn't wish to comment on your relationships, John. Although I reckon you could write quite a few books about them. But if Phil Martin's listening, Phil, I think there's a book opportunity there.
Jesus. It'd be like Fatal Attraction without the happy ending.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm kidding, if any exes are listening, which I'm pretty sure they won't be. Anyway, Paul, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, see you next Tuesday, John.
Hang on a second. I know what you did there. Ooh, that's bad.
Well, you told me no one had ever used that word on the...
I had to switch the microphone off, joking to death. Yes, thank you for that, Paul.
Is that the first time I've ever made you laugh, John, in the last 16 years?
It actually is, and I've got to say, that was excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody who's not clear on what Paul did just there, feel free to send me a direct message on LinkedIn or Twitter, and I will explain. Thank you.